Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. The Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 359 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Claire Thompson. Thanks, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
Thanks, Claire.
Today, we will be discussing part one of chapter 22 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. The Deathly Hallows!
Oh my god!
It's the name of the book!
It's like in a movie when they say the title of the movie.
Oh my god. Okay. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to analyze your way through the details.
Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
I don't know what part of me you're trying to touch. She's petting me.
I wanted it to be weird.
Mission accomplished. Good. Take me to church.
What?
You're singing like church hymns.
I don't know. Whenever I think of church, I think of the song Don't Blame Me.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
Anyway.
Don't blame me.
Good old Zeno sold the trio out, hoping to get Luna back in return, but instead he just got two mean Death Eaters and an exploded Arumpent horn. And like half his house exploded. Way to go.
Yeah.
Hermione was smart, though, and she hid Ron and let the Death Eaters sneak a peek at Harry before she disapparated him to safety. We pick
She's
up right
too
there.
Smart.
Oh, Hermione?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're out, they're safe, and Hermione is already running around casting protective charms, thankfully, because those two probably wouldn't think to do that. Ron is pretty angry at Xenophilius, and it's kind of funny throughout this conversation, the way he goes back and forth, where he's like, serves him right. And then he's like, do you think he's okay?
I feel that so hard. Like, you want to be so angry and then you're like, wait, guilt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think mostly, though, more than anything, because, like, they care about Luna.
Yeah.
And, like, that's her dad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Ron's mad. I think Harry's probably not exactly pleased either. And Hermione gets her beautiful I told you so moment, but at a very large cost because the Arumpent horn and his house is blown up and Ron's like, serves you right. Do you think he's okay? And then Hermione's like, ooh, hope they don't kill him. Because it's like, these were kids' books and now we're just killing people.
They were kids' books.
So it's a real thing that could be happening. So isn't it kind of odd to, like, think back of what we were reading about at the beginning of the series?
Yeah.
Compared with Now. This is your first time.
That was so weird. It
Siri just wanted to be on the podcast.
Yeah, Siri just tried to show up. All of ours are going to be like, all right. So she's like, that's why I wanted the Death Eaters to get a glimpse of Harry before we left, so they knew Xenophilius hadn't been lying. Why hide me, though? Asked Ron. You're supposed to be in bed with Spattergroit, Ron. They've kidnapped Luna because her father supported Harry. What would happen to your family if they knew you were with him? But what about your mom and dad? They're in Australia, said Hermione. They should be all right. They don't know anything. You're a genius, Ron repeated, looking awed. Yeah, you are, Hermione, agreed Harry fervently. I don't know what we'd do without you. And I think that they'd be dead by book one.
Yeah.
Do you think Harry would have gone through that potions room?
Oh, no, he would have drank the poison.
He would have drank.
He would have drank all of them. Mixed it up.
Right? Like when you're at Chuck E. Cheese and you're just getting all the pops.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Charles E. Stilton, if you will.
Charles E. Stilton. So they start to have a conversation about Luna and where she could be. And they wonder, realistically, if she's dead. Maybe she's in Azkaban. And Harry's like, she would totally survive there just because of how tough she is. I think that he's right. I think if she were to ever be put there, she would definitely be surviving that place.
Michigan McKenna said, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Without Hermione, the boys would have gotten got by the devil.
Have your moment.
What happened?
I don't know. I just couldn't.
Did you run out of breath?
I couldn't talk. Okay. Michigan McKenna said, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times without Hermione. The boys would have gotten got by the devil's snare.
Are you well?
No, they would have gotten got by the devil. Yeah.
The devil's lettuce. The devil's fire.
Throwback.
Oh, man. But anywho's, they're very torn about this situation because, like, obviously they're angry that Xenophilius would do these things, but then they're like, oh, Luna's dad. It's just hard. And also caring for the well-being of people in general, right? Like, Harry is doing this not only for his own survival, but for the wizarding world at large. So, like, it's hard to be like, I hate you.
Yeah.
Any whoosies. So Hermione's like, oh my gosh, we shouldn't have done this. It was Godric's Hollow all over again, except with Ron. And she says, quote, a complete waste of time. The Deathly Hallow, such rubbeth. Rubbeth?
What's wrong with us?
Well, this is what's wrong with me. I don't know what your excuse is. Although, actually, a sudden thought seemed to have struck her. He might have made it all up, mightn't he? Mightn't. That's a word in there. I didn't make that up. Mightn't he? He probably doesn't believe in the Deathly Hallows at all. He just wanted to keep us talking until the Death Eaters arrived. And then Ron goes into his own thing. And I wonder if she's actually heard this story before.
Who?
Because when Ron got back, Harry and Ron exchanged their stories from when they were apart.
Oh, yeah, you're
right. Without Hermione. So I don't even know if she knows that he was picked up by Snatchers and lost a fingernail.
Oh, no. Harry, did you hear that? He lost a fingernail.
The voice that Hermione adopted when wishing to wound.
Meanwhile,
Jim Dale.
We were chased by a snake. And Voldemort himself.
And Ron lost a fingernail.
Imagine that. Anywho. So.
Can you imagine that? Sorry, it's a really good song.
Okay, I'm sure.
It's from Mary Poppins 2, you swine.
Hold on, I get to say a swear because it's in the book. Quote. Okay. It's a damn sight harder making stuff up when you're under stress than you'd think. I'd found that out when the Snatchers caught me. It was much easier pretending to be Stan because I knew a bit about him than inventing a whole new person. Old Lovegood was under loads of pressure trying to make sure we stayed put. I reckon he told us the truth, or what he thinks is the truth, just to keep us talking. And then we get the whole debate about, like, you know, what's true and what's not in the wizarding world. And the Chamber of Secrets was supposed to be a myth. It ended up being real, blah, blah, blah. Hermione is determined that they cannot be real, even though they have proof that one exists.
But are you sure?
Quote, "The tale of the three brothers is a story," Hermione said fervently. Firmly, not fervently. "A story about how humans are frightened of death. If surviving was as simple as hiding under the invisibility cloak, we'd have everything we need already." And Harry's like, "I'd like an unbeatable wand. It'd be pretty good," because he's got this blackthorn one that doesn't really work for him. And, you know, she's going to be like, "It's you, blah, blah, blah. I don't say blah, blah, blah." Oh, man. But there's a beautiful point that she brings up that comes up later on. And I love these moments in this book because she talks about history of magic. Because Harry was either not paying attention asleep or passed out from Horcrux things asleep and didn't care about this class. So she talks about wands that have popped up throughout history, and she names one being the Death Stick, and that they're kidding themselves if they think that the Elder Wand is real. And then she's like, okay, what about the Resurrection Stone?
No, she like put in quotations.
The Resurrection Stone. So that's how Jim Dale says it. But anyways, I love this because later on at Shell Cottage, they're having the conversation with Ollivander when Harry decides that he's going after Horcruxes and not Hallows. And he just wants to kind of get confirmation that this is a real thing. This Hallow is real. And he brings up the Elder Wand to Ollivander, and Ollivander confirms that there is this wand traveling throughout history that goes under each of these names. It's one wand called many names.
One wand to rule them all.
Exactly. And it just brings me joy because, like, it's her point brought up later to prove her wrong.
Yeah.
And I just think it's fun. And I'm done.
I just think that she doesn't... She's, like, concerned that he's going to be focusing on the wrong thing with this.
Meanwhile, Harry's like, everything finally makes sense. I get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So then he starts talking about how when his wand connected with Voldemort's, it made his mom and dad appear and Cedric and... Wow, why am I blanking? Frank.
Frank. R.I.P.
From Priory and Cantatum. So Hermione tried saying that they weren't really back from the dead, though, but neither had the girl in the story, really. She wasn't really back from the dead. She still belonged with the dead. And, like, Harry was even, like, the second brother was able to talk to her and live with her.
That's pretty sad.
Even though she wasn't really meant to be there.
Yeah.
And he could like see that made Hermione scared, like the idea of like living with the dead. And I mean, rightfully so. That doesn't sound comfy.
I wonder how much experience she has with the death of someone that close.
Right? Like does she have that desire to like,
because, like, think about if you would have never lost anyone in your whole life.
Yeah.
And somebody brings up the fact, if I can turn this, I can see someone from the afterlife.
Yeah.
It would probably feel not cool for you.
Yeah.
But if you have that longing and you miss someone so much, I would jump at the chance to turn that stone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd send them back. I'd be like, listen, I just want to, like, say hi.
Right. And Harry has had experiences, like, with the Priory and Cantatum. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, he knows that, like, this plane of existence is accessible in a way. So it's not, like, cuckoo to hear there's a Resurrection Stone, you right. know?
Do we know if other people can hear the voices behind the veil?
Luna can.
Luna could.
I think you need to be open to it.
I think that there, I think, I mean, or I feel like this in real life, too.
You have to have lost someone.
Yeah.
Because Luna's mother.
Could Neville? Neville hasn't actually lost.
Yeah, they're still around.
Yeah.
Thoughts to think, my friend. Did Ron hear his Uncle Bilious?
Pulling flowers out of his stuff.
He had the grin.
So he then asked if Hermione found anything anywhere about that Peveril bloke from Godric's Hollow. That was Ignotus, right? In the...
Yes.
My God. Graveyard. Brain. But the only book that she had found his name in was Nature's Nobility, A Wizarding Genealogy, which she had borrowed from Creature.
And Ron gives her a look like, why do you have that?
And the name Peveril had gone extinct in the male line, so that name had vanished. But saying that made Harry remember Marvolo Gaunt. So you know whose grandfather was a descendant of the Peverils, because the ring that Marvolo had the Peveril coat of arms on it. And Hermione asks if he remembered or could see what it looked like, but Harry said not really. There was nothing fancy on it. But he reckons that it was the Deathly Hallows sign.
Right.
He reckons.
Reckon.
And this is a quote from the book. Marvolo Gaunt was an ignorant old git who lived like a pig. All he cared about was his ancestry. If that ring had been passed down through the centuries, he might not have known what it really was. There were no books in that house, and trust me, he wasn't the type to read fairy tales to his kids. He'd have loved to think the scratches on the stone were a coat of arms, because as far as he was concerned, having pure blood made you practically royal.
Mm-hmm.
So Hermione is, like, obviously still skeptical, and Harry's getting frustrated with her. She says, but Harry, if you're thinking what I think you're thinking, and he interrupts her and says, well, why not? Why not? It was a stone. It could be the resurrection stone. And Ron was, he was coming on board with Harry. And Ron says, blimey, but would it still work if Dumbledore broke? And then Hermione interrupts again and says, work,
work,
work, work. Ron, it never worked. There's no such thing as a resurrection stone.
Ugh.
And Hermione tells Harry he's trying to fit everything into the Hollow story, which is making him angry because he says that it's fitting of its own accord, which it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know the sign of, he's saying, Harry says, I know the sign of the Deathly Hallows was on that stone. Gaunt said he was descended from the Peverils. And then Hermione's like, a minute ago, you told us you never saw the mark on the stone properly. I just want to point out that at this point, in my reread a while ago, I've been waiting to get to this point for like years in our podcast because this is when I realized that Harry and Voldemort are related.
Yeah. I remember when you came to that realization.
I was listening to it and I was like, oh my God, wait.
Do you remember when she came to that realization and I told her, yes, that I knew that? And then she got mad at me. And you're like, of course, because you've read it a million times.
I was like so excited when I like realized that, though, because Harry is a descendant of the third brother, Ignotus, and Voldemort is a descendant of the second brother. And also, it's just kind of like fitting a little bit.
I have in my head for some reason, like just
in their personalities,
a montage video of Harry and Voldemort, like in a 90s sitcom. Whatever happened to the and it's just like them and their
I don't
know. We're just hanging out.
Oh my God, Michigan McKenna
one big
said,
family.
Dang, Uncle Tommy is so uninvited from holiday dinner.
Truly. He'd be starting stuff up.
Voldemort's related to Cadmus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did we name our little kitten?
It fits, man.
He's a Slytherin.
He is a Slytherin.
Oh, but he's so sweet, too.
I know.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah.
So here comes Reckon again. Where do you reckon the ring is now?
Well, there's a lot of Reckons.
A lot of Reckons.
Is this the third Reckon?
What do you reckon about these Reckons?
I reckon it's pretty great. Feeling really out of it.
The only diddly I do is squat. Squat.
Oh, my God.
So Ron asks Harry where he thinks the ring is now and what Dumbledore might have done with it after he broke it and had a sick hand.
No.
But Harry's mind is now racing. So I pulled a lot of stuff from the book just because I really like how this part is written. And some of it is just too good to not read. So this is Harry's thoughts. Three objects or hollows, which, if united, will make the possessor master of death. What? What? Three. Oh, three. Sorry.
What?
What? Master of death. Master, conqueror, vanquisher. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And he saw himself, possessor of the hollows, facing Voldemort, whose horcruxes were no match. Neither can live while the other survives. Was this the answer? Hollows versus horcruxes?
It I love sure that line. Was.
Was there a way, after all, to ensure that he was the one who triumphed? If he were the master of the Deathly Hallows, would he be safe?
I literally, my first read, I was like, this is it, you guys. We have found what we need to defeat him. But, like, I want you to go back and notice the things that you read, all of the things that kind of pass through his mind as he's piecing these together, where these come from. Master, conqueror, vanquisher. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's from the graves.
Yeah.
Neither can live while the other survives is the prophecy, as well as Dumbledore. I think master, conqueror, vanquisher is just the most recent conversation with Xenophilius. Yeah. And I just love how it's all tied in, because these are things that's just been sitting, waiting in his brain.
Like, just waiting for those puzzle pieces to kind of, like, slot together.
Yeah.
And they finally do, and he's like, oh, my God, I got it.
This Harry right here, Harry from now until the end of the book and the way that he figures things out, is my favorite version of Harry. Because he's finally come into his own, and it just makes me really, really happy.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he's not lost anymore. Like, he knows what he's doing.
He needed this to light his fire again, because he was not.
He was feeling stuck. He was feeling.
And we all get that way.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of Ron for stepping up. Mm-hmm. Like he should and did.
Yep.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. As a mom, I totally get this. There's also perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. The good news is you don't have to suffer anymore. Yay! Because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it definitely shows. And the biggest benefit is feeling like yourself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
So Hermione tries to talk to Harry and says his name, but he literally doesn't even hear her. He's too busy looking at his invisibility cloak, because it's exactly as Xenophilius had described it.
Almost.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. A cloak that really and truly renders the wearer completely invisible, unless you have a magical eye. and endures eternally, giving constant and impenetrable concealment no matter what spells are cast at it. So again, you know, if you want to see our previous work about talking about Mad-Eye's
Eye. I can't talk about it.
The only acceptable answer is that it also has some sort of deep-rooted mythical properties.
It has to be the Eye of the Seers that yes, they pass right. around. That's right. Or I can't.
I know.
It's the Eye of the Seers.
It's been seeing through cloaks.
Also, like, robes. Which, like, man, I know.
Naked.
Yeah, don't be.
No clothes on. What?
That's from Rocco's Modern Life. Oh, my God.
Get
that's
up.
Right, that's right.
You hooligan.
You plebe.
You hooligan.
You hoodlum. So then Harry gasps because he remembers Dumbledore had the cloak the night his parents had died. Sirius had told him about it. And that's why. And this was why. Because Dumbledore wanted to examine it because he thought it was the third hollow. So then Harry is just like spewing out all this information while the other two are like, we're not really sure if you're like crazy or if we should believe you. So he says, Ignotus Peverell is buried in Godric's Hollow. Harry is walking blindly around the tent, feeling as though great new vistas of truth were opening all around him. Because it finally makes sense. He's my ancestor. I'm descended from the third brother. It all makes sense. He felt armed in certainty in his belief in the Hollows, as if the mere idea of possessing them was giving him protection, and he felt joyous as he turned back to the other two. He needs this, guys.
I know. He's joyous, and they're like,
Hermione's like, yeah, not convinced. So Harry reaches into the, what is it, Mokeskin? Mm-hmm. The Mokeskin pouch, and shoves the letter from Lily into her hands and says, read it. Dumbledore has no need for an invisibility cloak. He's powerful enough to do a disillusionment charm that is probably like almost equal to that kind of invisibility. We know that he did it in the first book, so there's another call out to Sorcerer's Stone, which is cool. And something else fell out of the pouch when he pulled the letter out, and it was the snitch. I would not have connected this, so like, way to go, Harry.
Yeah.
So he picks it up. It's like this... another gift from all of this, like these discoveries coming together, and he shouts, it's in here, he left me the ring, it's in the snitch. Amazing. Ron looks taken aback, and Harry like can't understand why, because this is so obvious and so clear to him. Everything fits. His cloak is the third hollow. He would have the second as soon as he figured out how to open the snitch, and that left the wand. And I like this bit of writing because you can literally feel it. It was as though a curtain fell on a lit stage. All his excitement, all his hope and happiness were extinguished at a stroke. And he stood alone in the darkness, and the glorious spell was broken. Because he figures it out. That's what Voldemort's after. He's after the Elder Wand. He knows that's the truth because it all makes sense. So we kind of stop at a part of this. We're about to stop at the part of this. This part of the chapter, but he has this like moment of hope, which like right now we're kind of like going through a roller coaster of Harry's emotions of like trying to figure this out because this is huge. So he's thinking, okay, Voldemort was raised in a Muggle orphanage. There's no way that no one read him these stories, just like me and Hermione had never been read about these stories. Barely any wizards believe the Hollows. Is it likely that Voldemort knows about them? Obviously we know. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't know about them, does he?
No.
That's right. He just knows about the wand.
Yeah, he just thinks.
Oh, my God, you're right. So that is some hope. Go Harry.
He grew up in the Muggle orphanage and did not hear these tales like Hermione and Harry.
That's right.
Didn't hear them. They heard about Cinderella. What is that? An illness.
What is that?
But, yeah, no, he doesn't know about them. Too bad for you.
Can you imagine if he did, though?
That would be scary.
It would be the end.
Voldemort day.
He would never use the stone. But I think he would hoard it like a Schmeagol. You know?
We only got one lightning bolt question.
Oh, my gosh. Send more right now. What are you doing in this chat?
Oh my God, Tiffany.
You had one job. Good Lord. Pull that question. I finished them long time ago.
Yeah, all of 30 minutes ago. Marguerite asks, if there was something similar to a resurrection stone in real life, would you ever use it?
Yes. I said that earlier.
I would use it not with the intention of the person staying, but just to like converse.
I'd just like to say hi. Can I bring back like Frank Sinatra? I'd like to talk to him.
Yo, Frankie.
Yo, Frank.
It's the chairman of the board. So yeah, I'd use it.
Brandon asks, did you miss me?
Yeah.
Desperately, every day.
All the time.
And I'm not being a butthead. I really do miss you. How dare you make burritos, William?
Katie K asks, do you sleep with socks on?
No.
Absolutely not.
What kind of trash you do, don't you? No, it's cold all the time.
No, I don't. What will happen if my feet are so frozen, they won't warm up under a blanket. I'll start with socks on, but they come off before I'm asleep.
I just stick need my that feet to like warm Marty. It up.
But ew, I hate when you wake up and you hadn't kicked them off yet and they're all hot. I don't like that.
That's terrible.
Michigan McKenna asks, what is your favorite children's book?
Ralph S. Mouse.
Harry Potter.
I know.
No.
I really liked Babysitter's Little Sister.
Henry and Mudge.
Little Sister.
I also really enjoy If You Give a Moose a Muffin, because my mom made muffins and brought them into my first grade class, and we read that book.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Like, what about Mucky Moose?
Oh, I loved the book Mucky Moose. Yeah, that was a good one. I would take it out from the library all the time. Alex asks, which hollow would you like? I think that we've talked about this before.
I'd probably pick the cloak.
I think the cloak.
I'm not trying to do anything.
Nikki asks, could Dumbledore be related to the third brother?
That'd be cool. But I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
And Michigan.
Which one?
Mightn't he? Is that Mike?
Yeah, that's Mike.
Okay. Do you want snow all winter or not?
What is wrong with you?
I'm ready for spring.
First year U of M, now there's this. How dare you, sir?
I like snow.
Although if it's
all
gonna
the
be,
time,
if it's gonna be cold,
no,
I guess yeah.
If,
there, well
if it's
be
gonna
snow.
Be cold, I at least want it to look pretty.
Yeah. But can it be in like the constant?
I'm not trying to go places in this.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
If it could be in the constant like pretty mode, not where like it gets too icy or gets too slushy or gets too gross.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, just a constant fresh blanket
and not on the road.
Yeah. Right. Basically, we just need to install heated roads everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be like Kent State and install heated sidewalks just in the areas where they do the tours.
Yeah, just where the important people walk. Forget the students.
That's out of this world.
Slip, slide all over the place. It's fine.
I know.
Yes, it is. And it's a wind tunnel.
So I guess we're okay on snow.
Yeah. All right, Discord discourse. Vinny.
What does the husband say?
I remember discussing on forums on what the Deathly Hallows could have been before the book came out. It was super fun.
What was your favorite one?
Oh, he sent it.
Ah, my wife! God, I missed you.
Brandon, basically, Gaunt can suck a fart.
But can it float?
I don't know. Can it?
Ew. Farts float.
I watched this video.
Why? Why?
This probably is a thought that shouldn't be.
That's what I'm saying. Nothing has to come out.
This guy showed you.
Still going?
This guy showed you how to literally jar a fart.
All right.
Is that what we're getting for Christmas?
Maybe not. Keep making fun of me.
Let me.
Never opening anything from you.
If I give you a jar of mostly water, don't open it.
From the tub?
You gotta fart and do it in the tub.
Yeah, that's the only way to perfectly capture a fart.
Why?
Because it bubbles.
It's pure fart.
It bubbles and then
it's organic.
Because What did you say?
Oh, I know what you said.
That was good.
Carrie's here. We didn't say that earlier.
All right. Let's read this fan story.
Okay. This fan story comes from Nicole. Hey, ladies. I'm Nicole. First of all, I wanted to say that I absolutely love your podcast.
Oh, thank you. I do it by myself.
What?
What?
You do it by yourself? Fine.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later. Everybody, welcome to the Tiffany Show.
Oh, Tiffany knows the owner.
Big whoop.
I'm going to call you Weezin' Ed.
You're up there with Bayou Bill.
Hey, we will talk about Bayou Bill in the next episode because Bayou Bill came to Magic Kingdom.
Truly. He did. Big time. Sorry, Nicole. I'm only on episode 106 as of April 17th, 2023. But I listened to y'all on my drive to and from college where I'm currently working on my AST teaching K through 5 degree.
Woohoo!
Cooking dinner, doing housework, and basically any time I get a free moment. Now that that's out of the way, my Potter profile. I'm a Hufflepuff. Woohoo!
Woo!
Best house. My Patronus is a Siberian cat.
That's cool.
And my wand is silver lime wood with a phoenix core, 10 and 3/4 inches, and quite bendy flexibility.
That's so cool.
You sound super cool. I'm not really active in the Facebook group because of my busy schedule, which y'all will understand later on in my story.
What was that Kermit voice?
Me either.
I just can't do Facebook anymore.
That's all. Meg makes fun of me for how I use Facebook.
Oh my God, she's such an old lady.
It's funny stuff. You laugh at it.
Everything you post, I'm like, oh, I'm going to send that to Katie. And I'm like, wait.
Exactly, because that's funny.
Katie posted it.
But I absolutely do lurk there. My Potter story actually started around 20 years ago. Oh my gosh, I'm old.
Me too, it's okay.
When I was 11. I wasn't really into reading at the time, and my grandfather... Is that just Papa or Papa?
Where?
Right here. My grandfather, Papa.
Papa.
Asked what kind of things I liked. I don't really remember what I told him, but for Christmas that year, he got me the first 4 Harry Potter books in which he signed the inside covers.
Oh, I love that.
I devoured them. From then on, we went to every book release, even the midnight ones, and I made him sign the inside covers of those as well. We went to every midnight premiere of the Harry Potter movies together. I even got him to wear a Harry Potter shirt with me.
Cute.
Oh, love it.
My love of Harry Potter grew over the years. I guess you could say Harry Potter became my identity. My family and friends would, and still do, pick up anything Harry Potter they come across for birthdays, Christmas, and even just randomly for me. When I married my ex-husband, he tried to, quote, tone down my Harry Potter obsession, and a lot of my Potter things went missing. Not my books, though. I made sure of that. That, along with other things I won't get into here, led me to believe that we wouldn't work out. I don't want anyone or anything changing who I am. Soon after my son was born in 2014, we got divorced. In January 2017, I met my now amazing husband, who had 3 kids from his previous marriage. Unfortunately, Papa passed away not long after my husband and I got together. I was devastated. I'm so thankful that my husband was there to help me through that. For a little while, I couldn't even look at my Harry Potter things because they reminded me so much of Papa. Eventually, my oldest daughter, who's technically my stepdaughter, but we don't see step or half in our house, we're family, came into my room, cuddled with me, and read the tales of the 3 brothers to me. I cried
That was good timing for this chapter.
I cried for about 2 hours that night, but it's what I needed. It started getting a bit easier from there, but still hard. Then in December of 2019, my husband and I had our daughter. My kids, husband, and I are a household of nerds, and we can share that love together.
Love it.
Ever since Papa passed away, though, I can't seem to read my books. I've tried, but I get to the front cover where he signed them for me, cry, and I have to put them down. I've even tried to read them to my kids, but can't. We can, however, read the tales of Beetle the Bard as bedtime stories, though. Your podcast Your podcast helps me be able to reread them in a way that I didn't think I could. Ladies, you all do so much more than just talk about Harry Potter. At least for me, you bring back some of the best memories I had as a child and young adult that I thought were lost when I lost Papa. He and I had some of the same conversations that you ladies have had, and shared some of the same emotions. Some of my favorite memories of my papa included Harry Potter books, Papa's front porch, sweet tea, I'm from Tennessee, and just hours of conversation. So from the bottom of my Potter heart, thank you. Thank you for talking about the books that I've loved for so long but couldn't pick back up. Don't ever let the muggles get you down.
I'm not okay.
Oh my God.
I love what Sarkar said in the chat. Papa, I miss you and don't even know you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Nicole, that was everything we needed and more.
Oh my gosh. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm glad you can reread them through us. And maybe eventually you'll be able to get there, yeah, you know, with your kids, maybe. Ugh. Are you crying too?
Carrie wrote in the Discord, I forgot to dissociate during the fan story and now I'm about to cry.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Nicole, I love that you share that special memory, though. Even though it can be hard, yeah, I understand. Stuff hits you like that. But I'm glad that you have those memories. And you have a way, like Tiff said, to relive them a little bit.
Yeah.
Without diving back in. But hopefully one day you can.
Do you ever, like, really sit down and think about, like, the things that people share with us? Because we started talking to each other about this.
I know.
It's mind-boggling. Like, in the best way. I mean, that, like, as it's very humbling and...
Yeah. Humbling.
It's amazing.
And like,
it like really makes me realize and remember like how big Potter is, yeah, to so many people.
Yeah.
I remember every now and then, like, you know, new people come in to work or whatever, and that recently happened, and like it comes out that I have a podcast, whatever. And like, I had to kind of like tell the group, like, Potter's not going anywhere. Like, they're coming out with a TV show. That's probably going to branch off into other things. Like, there's a theme, mm-hmm, park. Like, it's still just as big as it was when, like, we started getting into it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's really deep for some people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, it's me. Yeah. It's us. It's all, yeah, of us.
We're the problem. It's us.
I am proud to be the problem.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, Nicole. Yes. Don't you let the muggles get you down. We love you. And your papa.
Oh my gosh.
I'll tell you a really stupid joke so, yes, we can, please, all recover.
Okay.
Why did the Slytherin get a job at the post office?
What are you trying to say about me?
I didn't write this. Talk to the great guffaws for Gryffindor. Of course it's a Gryffindor book.
Stealing letters again?
No, they like
that.
Wait,
well, hold on. Can you say the whole thing again? I forgot it.
Why?
Is that why you looked at me weird when I said stealing letters?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Meaty bits.
Fancy feast. Why did the Slytherin get a job at the post office?
Oh, okay. Why?
They liked that he could speak parcel tongue.
Oh, I like that.
What?
A parcel.
Oh, parcel.
Break me off a piece of that.
Fancy feast.
Don't make fun of my brain.
Okay.
Okay. And this, I want to talk about our trip.
If, yay, you'd like to follow us on social media, myself and my wife are on Instagram and TikTok at the Beatrice Family. And Tiffany is on Instagram. You know where to find her. I'm kidding. She's at tipswish_flick.
You want to know how to spell that? It's BUTTFACE
_. 7.
Ding. What did I do?
Sarkar got a bingo.
You can't have any more of my high
bingo
shoes. What is your problem?
Carrie was trying to get a high shoe and broke things.
It's a breakable.
House what cup are the standings. Things?
You have, wait, to pull those.
Did we put trivia points here or
surely
not?
We didn't.
Yeah. Gryffindor's in first.
This is a BS. This is all false. Fake news.
Toodaloo.
Hufflepuff is in last.
Bob's shorts. Vinny, I can't spell that out on the podcast. Anyways.
Only on Swish After Dark.
We'll eventually put your points in there.
Yeah, until then, this is a lie.
Cokes restarted, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Cokes had to restart, although we didn't do what we said we were going to do.
I mean, you got a sweatshirt.
Oh, my God.
It's still at my house.
Oh, we should have bought something from Club Cool.
Oh, we should have. Okay.
Let's talk about Club Cool. All right. This is for...
Robith.
No. Papa.
Papa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Bye.
We're not leaving.
Amazing. Chocolate my boys.
What is going on?
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.